Mein Name ist Sapi.
My name is Sapi. I am heralding this talk about IDs without fingers, as we like to call them, since August 2021. When applying for an ID in Germany, you have to submit your fingerprints, and this obligation for fingerprints is to us at Digital Courage, it is a dangerous thing because we think that it. Why we do that, what we do against it, and if we might actually turn over this rule is what Konstantin Macher from Digital Courage is going to talk about. And after that talk, there will be a Q&A, which you can submit questions using Mastodon or Twitter using the hashtag Fireshonks. Using IRC, which you can access via media.ccc.de, you can use the hashtag Fireshonks22 there. And I don't think we are going to see questions on other channels such as YouTube or Twitch. So perhaps Mastodon will be your best route. And with that, let me hand over to Konstantin Macher. Thank you, Sapi. Okay. I'm going to tell you about IDs without fingers, what can be done, and even before that obligation for fingerprints came into force in August, we've been trying to get this overturned, and we'll tell you what we think we can be done. Feel free to write to me using the hashtag Firetongs. We are also watching the hashtag Perso ohne Finger, which is personal ID without fingers. And tonight and in the next few days, I'll be watching and responding to any remarks. And you can always contact us anyway. Okay, I'll first tell you what the current state of things is and how we are going to proceed and what can be done. And I think we'll be doing okay time-wise, and there'll be time for questions. So what is the problem with that obligation for fingerprints? If you apply for a new ID document in Germany, just as with the passport, you are now obliged, as you hand in the application, to store two fingerprints. These will be stored on the chip, which is embedded into the ID. So they are transmitted to the company called Bundesdruckerei, the Federal Printers, that produces the document. And even in that transmission, something might happen. But just to have this basic assumption that people are treated as potential criminals. And the message is, we are placing you all under general suspicion. I think that is an attack on our dignity. If you saw a pop-up just now, that wasn't part of it. So that is an attack on our dignity. It treats us like potential criminals. And that is not how democratic states under the rule of law should treat their citizens, because you have the presumption of innocence there. So this is more akin of a police state. The second problem with fingerprints is that these are biometric features, and biometric features have a lifelong control function. Imagine you forget your password, or maybe some dangerous people might get access to your data, and you have to escape from a certain threat and pursuit. That is all possible with passwords. You can change these data, but fingerprints you cannot change. Once they get leaked, they are out there, and they are a potentially lifelong problem for you once they escape. You may have heard the talk by Kantorka, Snoopy, and Starbug yesterday about the biometric surveillance hardware that was used in Afghanistan and has now been released into the world with data on them. So all these people that are affected by this kind of leak can never again claim that data back and rein it in. And that gets us to the next item, state institutions. have to look after and guarantee the security of these data. But the more data is being collected, the greater the danger is that data is being read out and leaked somewhere where they are not supposed to end up. Imagine the local government department where you hand in your data. Maybe they're still using Windows 95 or whatever. There could be any kind of situation where something might happen, maybe in transmission to the federal printers, where the ID is produced, or at the time when the fingerprint is actually stored on the ID document, it might be queried from more and more institutions. More and more institutions might access that data, and again, with that, the threat that institutions handling that data lose it rises. And then there is the larger historical aspect. I was talking about Afghanistan earlier. In a very short time, there was a change of power. It's now the Taliban that are in force. And we know this from histories from German history as well. Information may have been collected at a large scale and then used against the population by a different government. So we are basically trusting every potential future government to handle our data correctly. And if you look at other countries, maybe in Europe, that may have access to the data through EU institutions, if you travel into these countries, do trust all these countries as well with the data that is connected to you for a lifetime. These are all problems that result from the storage of fingerprints on ID documents, and the necessity of that is dubious as well. So what happened so far? At the RC3 in 2020, my predecessor, Friedemann Ebelt, at Digital Courage, held an interesting talk. You can still watch that on our PeerTube instance, digitalcourage.video, or on media.ccc.de. And he talked about how he represented Digital Courage in a hearing at the Interior Committee of the German Parliament and tried to warn of the threats. And the other issue is when politicians that were supposed to decide on this didn't decide to do without the obligation for fingerprints, we started a campaign to make as many people as possible aware of the fact that this obligation would come into force in 2021, in August, and we called on you to apply for an ID document without fingerprints. That's with the Perso ohne Finger. So personal ID without fingerprints came from, and people did that and bought themselves 10 years of time. And we are going to raise a legal process, and the time it will take to get that through the institutions will be a very long time. So we kind of bought that time. I did, by getting an ID just before the deadline. So we bought that time, and maybe we can hope that within that time we'll be successful in the courts and nullify this rule. I have a small anecdote based on the call that we raised, because since autumn we have Jakob, who is for us for a year, and I noticed that I had heard from him before, because he had freedom of information requests. He had submitted these requests, and you can see this. This is the purple graph here. The purple line shows how the application for ID documents just before the deadline rose. That is a statistic that Jakob retrieved. Of course, that is not an in-depth analysis of what happened, but it's more than anecdotal evidence of the kind of the kind we had when people told us they were going to apply before the deadline. These are actual numbers. So thanks to Jakob for that. And He really submitted a valuable freedom of information request here. So then in August, the change of paragraph 5, section 9 of the German ID card law came into force. And ever since then, we have to submit both index fingers, fingerprints when applying for an ID document. And the idea is that when the document is finished, when it's produced, that data should not be stored anywhere else. So we haven't reached a point where a central database of fingerprints is envisaged. That wouldn't be admissible under current law, but of course we do know from other surveillance laws that an infrastructure like this, once it's in place, is going to be extended for other purposes, and that danger is there as well. The German law actually is an implementation of a European regulation, and again, this is legalistic stuff. It's regulation 2019/175 that you can read into. We have a bit more of legal materials if you're interested, but I'm not really going to go into that. We doubt that this regulation is compatible with European basic laws, and we think that the European Court of Justice should verify that, check that, and we hope that this rule will be nullified, and as a consequence then that the German law will not be tenable as well, and therefore we might be relieved from this fingerprinting obligation. So we went our way, started our way through the courts, and someone went to their local authorities asking for a new ID. He was then asked to submit his same fingerprints. Of course, then he said no. So he was then caught in an administrative act that you can attack through the courts. That happened to be the local administrative court in Wiesbaden in the state of Hesse. And there is a ruling from that court, which you can read on our website in German. We'll be as transparent as possible about the campaign on our website so that you can follow the campaign. And I have an exclusive update that's not actually in the blog yet that I'm going to share with you in the talk. And what then happened is that the administrative court said, yes, these doubts are plausible, so we are going to ask the European Court of Justice directly, which was faster than they thought. And that is a good sign in our view. The speed of that procedure tells us that the courts really regard this problem as relevant. We argue that this regulation is incompatible with higher prioritized rules in European law, and that it was not correct to create this regulation, and that the measure is disproportionate. So you have to consider it like this. So this infringes our basic rights in private life, the protection of our personal data and things, but in European law, since the GDPR, there is the principle of minimizing data. And the idea is that data cannot simply be collected because they can be collected. It has to be proportionate, it has to be necessary, and it has to be effective for a certain purpose. And in our arguments, we believe that we quite clearly laid out, our lawyer was very good, we think, in laying out that this is not proportionate. And it starts with the fact that there are many other security features that ID documents have. And that is actually what the German Agency for Security in Information Technology says, because it says even if that chip is broken, the ID is still valid because the security of the document is still ensured through the physical security features that it has, holograms, watermarks, and such. If you look at your ID document from certain angles, you see these watermarks and see the hologram. So the officials at the border have no problem in verifying the veracity, the authenticity of this ID document. And of course, at the same time, there is a risk because there is an infringement. So there is an infringement to basic rights. We know this from the law on passports, where fingerprints are obligatory as well. So in some ways you have no way around for submitting your fingerprints for some in some way or other, but you still have the choice of saying, okay, I'm not going to apply for a passport, but an ID document in Germany is something that you have to have, so there is no way around it. And the red-green liberal government coalition has said they want a different culture, they want to strengthen digital civil rights together with civil society. And now that we've handed in our legal complaint to the European Court of Justice, to the Administrative Court of Wiesbaden, we have been allowed to submit a position, which we have done, and all EU member states' governments are allowed to submit a position as well, through the EU Council as well. And we have the new German government. We called on them to submit a position which is in line with civil rights and to listen to civil society concerns. More than 13,000 people signed a petition to add their weight to this procedure and tell the German government that this is what we wanted to do, wanted them to do. And we asked them for a dialogue. And we were hoping that this new government, with the new style they wanted to have, this would be responded to. Well, you may hear from my voice that I'm not so enthusiastic of what is going to happen next. We received two letters. First of all, the response to our request for a dialogue. Thank you for your email from the 6th of April. We are in the process of looking at this law, and you can submit your position to us until the 10th of May. So we had a month's deadline after receiving that letter. Okay, that all sounds quite good. This is the actual envelope that was used to send this letter to us, and you may not see directly what the point is here, but this, you can see the postmark. We had a deadline for the 10th of May, and the postmark is from the 11th of May. Okay. We do sometimes act quickly over the weekend or so, but we cannot travel back in time yet. I do know stories that legislative procedures do happen with such short deadlines where you receive a letter on Friday to submit a position until the next Monday, but this was new to me as well. So much about the claimed culture of cooperation with civil society, and from the positions that we've seen from the governments that were submitted to the European Court of Justice. I cannot quote from these, sadly. I think that at some point in the procedure, the European Court of Justice themselves will publish these statements, these position papers or positions. But what I can say is the Interior Ministry, just as in telecommunications data retention or chat control, their positions are not convincing to us. We still have to have a lot of arguing to do. And they haven't moved very far away from the politics of the preceding government. So what can we do? We are in front of the courts, so it will take some time. What I can reveal is that, and that is the exclusive news, we have a oral hearing in front of the Grand Chamber of the European Court of Justice, which means that, again, we can respond to certain questions by the court. And it also means that the European Court of Justice really is going to deal with this question in depth. The Grand Chamber is always a sign that these are complex and important laws that are being dealt with. That to us is a strong signal that the European Court of Justice is taking this seriously and wants to listen to our positions. That, of course, is no guarantee that the ruling will turn out in our favor, but it makes me quite optimistic that we're going to proceed. And hopefully, by March, perhaps we'll have a good hearing. But then some more time will pass until the court will actually come to a conclusion, evaluate the various positions. We know this from other procedures. It could take years, although so far it was quite a speedy process. So what can we do until that point in time? Because that can be quite a stretch. So there's one hint I've dug out for you. It's not mine. This was the Chaos Computer Club's idea. And I'm not, I wouldn't recommend this explicitly, but what they did with the passports was to place the chip on an induction stove. You can see in the video how some hacker from the CCC tests whether the chip is still working after being placed on the stove. And you can see that at some point it does no longer work. So do with that information what you wish. The ID, I remember, is still valid without that fingerprint on the chip, without the chip. What else can be done? Well, at the moment, there is no way of applying for a new ID document without submitting fingerprints, which means that the alternative is to either ask yourself, can I wait? Or can I live with the fact that my fingerprints are going to be registered? In theory, there is the option to apply for a temporary document, passport or ID, if you have to travel for 3 weeks or so, and you need a valid travel document to cross a border for some reason. That might be an option, but these documents are only valid for 3 months. So this cannot be a permanent solution, and it won't solve the problem that you sometimes have to identify yourself with certain institutions. Some groups are affected by this more badly than others, so you have to decide for yourselves what you want to do. And I don't believe there'll be much sense in submitting your own legal procedures. And we've come quite far. With our own procedure, and I don't see how the European Court of Justice might change its position if more legal cases come their way. And if they are getting more or less spammed by procedures, this might actually slow down the process. We are going to pursue this as much as we can, and. We will be keeping you informed.
So we hope it will be as quick as possible, of course. And that's basically it from my side. And I am looking forward very much to the questions to the IRC. And of course, whatever comes in the next few days. Thank you very much. Yeah, hello. Very interesting. And alarming, of course. I have a question, actually. So someone wants to know, can you trust that a country like Hungary will not use it in a way that would disadvantage people without ever going there? So I don't really know what the question means. So might countries get access to the fingerprints without me ever going there? I can't know for sure. So whenever you go somewhere, they can gather data. And of course they can save that data then. As soon as they read out the data, then that's a possible issue. So if Hungary, for example, can have access to devices in Germany, I don't know. I don't think so. But there might be cases. So I don't know a particular case right now. And there is a follow-up question. What about organized criminality in other countries, in other countries within the Schengen Raum. So all those connected countries within the EU. So I don't know, is this about trading fingerprints? Yeah, maybe there could be a follow-up question, how exactly it should be understood. So there was the aspect of security. There is an argument to be made that it helps with securing the ID. Well, yeah, so it is one point that could be made. So with every bit of information, you make it more difficult to fake an ID. But of course, it's always cats and mice. So it's just a question of time until it can be faked. A chip can be faked as well. And whenever you're at a border, as it's supposed to be used, it's supposed to be a verification. So the person that shows their fingerprint is the person that is in front of them, so there's a live verification of the fingerprint on the ID and of the person. But that also means that if people are capable of writing to the chip themselves, then this whole idea of verification is broken. So the cat and mice game is just the same. So as soon as the fakers improve, it doesn't work anymore. But on the same time, the fingerprint is risked. So this biometric data is being put at risk. I tried to show it before, that biometric data stays relevant for your whole life. So as soon as the technology improves, so other people, unauthorized people, can read out your ID, you can't just update it, because the fingerprints are already there. The data is already there. It's potentially already lost. Yeah, so there's a few more points that go in a similar direction. So yeah, you might destroy the chip. And the question is it an option to just destroy the chip? And yeah, you already kind of answered that. No comment. So I can imagine people doing that, but I won't suggest you do. But the argument I hear, and what I hear the law says, so it's only allowed to be saved locally, stored locally. So if that is the case and it's not stored anywhere, which would be illegal, then of course you could secure the chip against unauthorized reading by destroying it. But I won't tell you to do it. Well, would it help to make your fingerprint unreadable with glitter and glue? Yeah, I think with the travel ID and passport, there was the idea with super glue. But what is it supposed to help with? Should it help you when you are traveling? Should it keep them from verifying the fingerprint? Or is it when you go to the official point where you apply for your ID and keep them from storing it? So if it's just unreadable, then the system might just flag it. And it might just say, yeah, it's not a valid fingerprint. But you might get lucky. But yeah, probably it's not legal. And if you get caught, it might be punishable. So I'm not a lawyer, I have no idea. Another question. Are the fingerprints being stored completely as a 3D file or just hatched, for example? Yet it's another thing we say is not legal, because a complete image of the finger is being stored, not just a hash. And if you think you have to store a fingerprint, you should at least hash it. And then it wouldn't be as easy to reproduce it. But yeah, so the complete fingerprint is being stored. Yeah, the questions keep coming in. Let's check the clock. Yeah, we have some more time. Okay, next point, next question. Yeah, that's what I thought. Isn't it enough to have an alternate ID? So maybe an ID from another country that do not have biometric data. Well, the problem is that it's a European legislation, so other countries also have to do that. Oh, so many countries have IDs for non-citizens. Well, maybe please send me the procedure via email, if that's possible. We will, of course, share it, but I don't know it yet. Yeah, so if there are more ideas, please send them to Konstantin.macher. You can find all the addresses on the website. And mail at digitalcourage.de is always an option. And there are several people in the team reading those emails. And someone will be there to test it. And I also remembered, so if a person 2021 got a new ID without fingerprints, so how long do you think this legal case will run? But there is another form of ID. The how much could that work? So there is a thing called Lichtbildausweis. It's a form of ID that Digital Courage sells, basically. And if you just submit your name and an image, you can get this ID for libraries and other places. So it's not a personal ID, it's not a legal ID, but it is an ID. And if they are just asking for an ID, it might be enough. And for many places, it might be enough. I heard stories that it worked, but I wouldn't trust it. But maybe if you're going to a club. And I've already heard that public pools want an ID, and I'm thinking, why? Why do they need it? I'm giving them money. But in many cases, our ID might be a solution. And yeah, so the legal case, how long might that take? So it can take years, and such an ID is valid for 10 years. So if you got one right before, it should be enough. So it would be weird if it would take 10 years. But 1 to 3 years, that's totally possible. Nobody knows. So with the data collection of public IP addresses, of private IP addresses, it was similar. So no guarantees, of course. And what? How could the fingerprint data be abused? What's the potential there? Well, one danger is where people are using fingerprints for authentication more and more. And then, of course, another person could use this fingerprint for stealing the identity. Do some online shopping or anything and verify things online, because traders and shop system, they say, well, there is this fingerprint, why don't we use that? And in that moment, there's this danger. If more and more places use the fingerprint as ID, as proof of ID, then it could also be abused for stealing your identity. And of course, if you then start faking IDs with including the fingerprint, and of course stalking. So the problem with stolen data, there is a lot of possible dangers, and once the fingerprint is gone, it's gone forever. And the danger that happens, is big, and the more time passes, the higher the danger becomes. So you could imagine a black market for fingerprints or for biometric IDs. And yeah, where they will fake IDs and then they just add a fake fingerprint or a real one from another person. So if someone else uses your fingerprint on the border and then suddenly it's they say, well, it was you. They used your name, they had your fingerprint. So that's an issue, and you cannot change your fingerprint once it's gone, once someone took it, someone stole it. So a more specific question, the US tried to demand the fingerprints for continuation of the ESTA program. Could that happen to Germany? Well, possibly, but as far as I know, it hasn't happened yet. Please correct me if I'm wrong. So I do not want to just guess. But of course, as soon as data is there, people want it. And especially the US, they are notorious for this. Yeah, we are kind of through now, a lot of questions. And again, if you have more questions on Twitter or Mastodon, hashtag Fireshunks, and feel free to use IRC and contact Konstantin directly. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for your attention. And thanks for all the questions and you handling them. Yeah, also thanks to all the people offering questions. And yeah, and thanks to Fireshunks for this opportunity.